series. The very first week we preached on hope. Jesus is our hope. Amen. In a world that is desperately needing hope, we have his hope, and he's come in the form of a baby. Last week, Pastor Mark preached a powerful message on peace. Not only did he bring us hope, but when he showed up in that manger, he also brought us an opportunity to have a peace which passes all understanding. That's what the Bible says, a peace that passes all understanding. I like to relate that verse. I grew up in Boone County. Come on now. Some of you still live in Boone County. It's okay. It's cool. And I remember Lenz Creek Mountain before they had a passing lane. Y'all remember that? Coming up from Petona or Racine, you're going to cross the line. You know, when we used to tell people there was a gate there. There was never a gate. That was just a pun. There's never been a gate. We didn't shut the gate at dark. But I remember, that's what my parents always used to tell me, oh, shut the gate at dark. You can't go out. You can't get back in. But I remember as a kid growing up, you'd be on that school bus coming back from Sherman High School, and man, you got behind a coal truck, it's terrible. All the way by the hill. And I always related that verse to when that school bus passed that coal truck. It really happened. I was on a school bus that passed a coal truck on Lenz Creek Mountain full of kids. That's the peace that God gives us. Your understanding is that slow-moving coal truck on that mountain. And God is the peace that passes understanding. Amen. I was on a school, don't tell anybody. I hope they're not still driving a bus, but we passed this, don't, Mary, don't tell anybody that. We passed the school truck with a load of kids. Now they got a passing lane on the mountain. But that's what peace does. It passes our understanding. And that's the peace that we have through this Christ child. It just passes our understanding. And this week we want to focus on the third part of the Advent, which is joy. We're saying a lot about joy. You've heard Pastor Mark in his monologue talk about joy. You heard all the kids talk about joy. We've sang songs about joy. Joy. Advent joy. So that's what we're talking about today. So shepherds, as Pastor Mark told us, they received the first news. They were the first ones to hear the announcement of Christ's birth. And as he did a phenomenal job, but as he said, why them? Why? Why the shepherds? Why not a king? Why not a palace? Why not some perfect place? Why Bethlehem? Why a manger? I don't know why. One of my favorite Christmas songs is, this is such a strange way to save the world. It's a really strange way, God. But it's the plan he chose. God didn't have a plan B when it came to the manger. There was no plan B. There was no alternative option. It was the manger. It was shepherds. It was angels. It was stars. It was a feed trough. The creator of the universe had to be wrapped in swaddling clothes so his back wouldn't be scratched by hay. Think about that. We act like he was five when he was born. He was a newborn baby. Tender and skin. I mean, that's why he had to be wrapped in whatever they could find so his back wouldn't be scratched to pieces. But the shepherds heard that first announcement. They got that. And what was a silent night, what was a normal night, suddenly became a magical moment in time. Almost like a Disney World end of the day. How many of you are in the Magic Kingdom? The Disney World. And at the end of every night, Debbie knows this to be a fact. At the end of every night, they have this massive light show and fireworks show, and Tinkerbell comes across this little cable and starts this whole thing. It's a magical moment. And that's what happened that night on that hillside. It went from silent, ordinary to crazy awesome in an instant. Became magical. And the shepherds were the first one. A night that still captivates us today. That night still captivates me. Oh, holy night. And if you weren't here last week to hear Greg sing that, man, I think it's on Facebook. Is it on Facebook Live? Greg seen that last week? You got to check that out. Well, it won't be Facebook Live anymore. It'll be Facebook delayed. This message was simple and profound. The delivery of the message was God doing what God does, the miraculous. Angels appear to shepherds. Angels sing to shepherds. They didn't just show up. A whole choir of angels eclipsed the sky. It's almost like a zipper was unzipped. And the sky opened up and an angelic host showed up to sing glory to God. They began to sing. And you think about that shepherd was just standing there absorbing all of this. Mark almost called in that night. He didn't talk about that. Think about that for a second. What if you had that shift that night? You were on call. I don't feel good. My back hurts. My toe hurts. I'm calling in. I'm gonna have him call Mark in. He's supposed to be off today. Somebody called in that night. Think about that. Can you imagine if you missed that? Can you imagine if you were one of those eight guys on shift and you missed that moment because you had a headache? Can you imagine coming to work next day and hearing about that? That's how God does things. That's how he does it. The most common occupation received the most glorious invitation. Verse 10 says, news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. That night was not just for them. It was for me and you as well. That night wasn't just for shepherds. It was for Don Kinder as well. So I could look back, so I could know. They said it's for all people. How many of you know? How many of you are people? Raise your hand. Some of you have no idea who you are. How many of you know you're on planet Earth right now? Some of you still are clueless. You are on planet Earth. How many of you are breathing? You may not breathing. Raise your hand, please. Roy's not breathing. We are all people. We're the declaration that the angels gave. We are all people. And this good news, this declaration was for everybody. Not just those shepherds on that night, but for you and I as well. That's how glorious this invitation is. Christmas is a reminder that chaos cannot keep Christ out of the world. Chaos can't keep him out. Aren't you glad? Because, man, it's chaotic right now. The Messiah was born not because of his ancestors. He was born despite them. His ancestors were not a lineage. They were you read in Matthew chapter 1, they were not a great group of folks. You had prostitutes and liars. You had kings who were bloodthirsty. You had a really bad bunch of people. Jesus came despite them. Why? Because he comes into our world. And he can't get us out of this mess unless we let him in our world. You may find yourself rolling around the mud hole right now. Guess what? Until you allow him in the mud hole, he can't get you out. The good news is, when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, he came into our mud hole. He's in there with us. All we got to do is lie and get us out. Christ came. In spite of racism and sexism, Christ came. Though people forgot God, Christ came. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Lord has come. I love Christmas. You know, I told you a couple weeks ago when I preached on hope. I really do. I love Christmas. I love remembering. I love reflecting. Wasn't it a lot easier to be a kid at Christmas than an adult? Yeah, it was. I mean, now you got people wearing T-shirts. I don't want to do any adulting today. I'm sorry. You have to do adulting because you're an adult. You don't get to wear that. T-shirt doesn't exclude you. But I remember as a kid growing up, man, and that's one reason I want this play for these kids on Wednesday, because I remember what the impact that had on my life as a young child. At my home chapel, United Methodist Church, every Christmas Eve, we put on this grand play. I mean, it was immaculate. I thought it was. If they had video of it, I'd probably think, what was that? But it really felt that way. We practiced and practiced and practiced, and it was chaotic, just like I'm seeing on Wednesday nights. We practiced, and every Christmas Eve, we would go and perform this play. And all of Ashford, I know that's not a lot of people, but all of Ashford would show up and pack that little church to the gills, and we would do this play. Every year, I was the little drummer boy. That was one of my favorite Christmas songs as a little drummer boy for many reasons. I started out with a coffee can. By the time I was 12 or 13, when I was graduated from not doing a little drummer, I was using a real drum. I couldn't play it, but man, it looked good. It looked good. And after the play, Santa Claus would show up and give out toys to every single kid in the place. And then we would walk out, and they would give us one of those brown bags that had an apple and an orange, and Snickers bars, and bubble gum. Man, those were highlights of my childhood. I look back on that, and I all that means Christmas to me. It's not just baby wraps, swaddling clothes, but it's the memories, the joy, and the happiness that I received in those moments. And then we would leave that place, and we would rush to my grandmother's right down the road for Christmas Eve dinner when the whole family came in, and it was an Italian night that night. They had squid and oysters and fish and raisin bread, and I had Fox Lux pizza. It was an Italian night. White meatballs, swamp soup. The white meatballs are good, but that spinach in it, nah. But I remember those things. I remember the Fox Deluxe pizzas. I had a pepperoni when I sprinkled a little salt on. That's what I had. Everybody else was eating whatever they were eating, sliding stuff down their throat. Squid still moving. I don't know. But that was Christmas. That was Christmas. I created memories. I'm going to create those same memories for those kids on Wednesday night. I want them to look back sometime in their life and say, man, at Living Faith Church, we did a Christmas play every year, and it was awesome. We had hot chocolate and cookies afterwards. That may be all they remember, but they'll remember this place and they'll remember this story. Why? Because it brings joy. It brings hope. C.S. Lewis called joy the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy marks the difference between existence and life, he said. Its presence upgrades survival to the being. Joy is our enjoyment of God and the good things that come from God. That's what C.S. Lewis said about joy. Joy, biblically, it's an attitude that God's people have to adopt. We have to adopt joy in our lives. We have to accept the joy to be part of our lives. Not because of good circumstances, but because of God's loves and promises. That's why I have joy. My circumstances doesn't define me. They may be creating chaos in my life, but they are not what defines me. My joy has to be something deep-rooted. My joy becomes something that's way down on the inside. And it comes from God. It's our future destiny, not our current struggles, that determine our joy as we anticipate our future redemption. But joy isn't about ignoring the negative aspects of life, but rather its profound decision of faith and hope that Jesus has more for our life. That's what joy really means. That's what this joy really means. That's what this Advent season really means. So this morning, really quickly, I want to look at joy and how he entered into our world as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. I want to look at joy past, joy present, and joy future. Because there are three aspects to joy. Joy past, joy present, and joy future. So the joy, past joy. Question, can we look back and still find joy? Can you look back and still find joy? You probably heard me talking about it in my Fox Deluxe pizza, right? You find joy in there. Those are memories. Those are etched deep into the grain of who you are. I do believe we can not only in our personal lives look back, but the birth of Jesus Christ happened over 2,000 years ago. And it's still bringing joy, is it not? That birth, that every kid that spoke, every song that was sung, every instrument that was played, even Don Cosson singing, was all about Jesus Christ coming to earth 2,000 years ago. Amen? That brings joy to us. That brings joy. Pastor Mark's monologue was from a shepherd's perspective today. If you were one of those shepherds on the hillside that night, I would guarantee you would never forget that night, ever. You would never forget that the rest of your life. You would never forget that moment. If you were there, nothing would ever change that. I would guarantee you'd never forget that moment. That even on your darkest days, even in your toughest days, there would be a constant reminder. Man, those angels. Wish you could have heard them. Wish you could have saw that star. Wish you could have seen the announcement. I wish you could have seen how we left all them sheep on the hillside and we came back and they were all still there. I guarantee you, every single one of them took off. And when they got back, man, they were being guarded by the great shepherd, weren't they? The great shepherd was watching sheep that night. Why? Because he wanted somebody to go see his baby boy. He wanted somebody to go see the Messiah being born in a feed trough. Now think about that. And you shall find this, here's the sign. You shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You know what that tells me? There were probably other kids born that night. There very well could have been a hospital in Bethlehem. There were other babies born that night. But the Bible says, and you shall have a sign, and you shall find this king, this Messiah, this joy, this peace, this hope, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. They didn't go to the hospital. They didn't look through the glass. There he is. There he is. That's my boy. They didn't do that. Their sign was a manger. Their sign was a feed trough. And that's where they went. And that moment, looking back, still brings me joy. It still brings me joy. Unfortunately, many people today choose not to follow Christ. They choose to keep Christ out of Christmas. Instead of looking at Jesus, people look anywhere and everywhere else to fulfill their longing. Pretty much everybody wants happiness, don't they? In fact, people do what they want for the purpose of finding happiness. People work hard to buy possessions. They strive hard. They try to do anything they can to make themselves happy. Let me say this morning, I just preached on joy. Gosh, it seems like 5 weeks ago. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness is based on an outcome. Happiness is based on an event, right? Several of us are going to watch Christmas Vacation tonight at Marquee Cinemas, right? When he didn't get his bonus, when he got his bonus, was it jelly or something? I don't know what he got. When he got that, he wasn't happy, was he? He was, his whole pool, his whole swimming pool was based on that bonus check. He didn't get the bonus check, and he already paid for the pool, right? He had a problem. There was a big problem right there. And so many of us base, you may be expecting a certain gift this year. You may not get it. You may have wrote it down. This is what I want. You may not get it. So you can't let what you get or what you unwrapped really be what chooses your, that's just happiness. Happiness is based on, I got the right present, I got the right size, I got the right color, I got what I wanted. That's happiness, right? That's not joy. Joy is something deep down on the inside that's life-changing, life-altering, that just fixes us to something. It fixes us to Jesus Christ. That's what joy does. That's what joy does. We look for happiness and entertainment and hobbies and sports and passions and various addictions. When you consider that happiness is our main goal, it seems surprising the Bible doesn't talk much about happiness. It talks a lot about joy, though. It talks a lot about joy. God's goal in life is not to make you happy. God's goal in life is to get you to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He came that we could be with him forever. Happiness deals with what is happening. Happiness depends on a circumstance. For most people, happiness is nothing more than a temporary interruption to boredom. How many of you have ever heard your kids say, "I'm bored"? Right? They got 400 TVs. They got every game system on the planet. They got remote control cars. They got bicycles. They got basketball hoops. They got footballs. I'm bored. In other words, you say, "I'm not happy. Spur me up because I want to be happy right now. I'm not happy. I'm bored." They're looking for happiness, right? They're looking for happiness. If you receive Christ as King in your life, he provides joy that can't be found in anything else on this planet. In the same way that your body craves food or exercise and rest, so your spirit craves a relationship with God. It craves it. You may not know that, but there's something missing in your life if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Why? You're craving something more. Ecclesiastes tells me it's placed in every one of us. Eternity is in our hearts. We may ignore it. We may try to push it to the side. We may try to file it in file 13. But guess what? Eternity is planted in our hearts. There's a longing for eternity in all of us, saved or not saved. There's something inside of you longing for more. Longing for more. Your soul will become restless. I believe there is indeed a God-shaped hole in every single heart, on every man ever created. And the only person who can fill that hole is God himself. God himself. And he does that when joy comes into our lives. He did that in a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So we have past joy where we look back to the manger, where we look back to the hillside, where we look back to the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph, and we see what that brought. That's the joy of the past. But it's very real in the present, is it not? Present joy. Receiving Christ is the first step to having joy in the present. But then we must go on to let him reign in our lives. We have this idea that joy means we face no problems. That is not true. I'll be the first to tell you this morning, you will have problems, but you can still be joyful. You will have issues that arise. You can still have a smile on your face. That's what's crazy about it. Is they look, ever, I'll never forget that. Years ago, I had bought a 93 Ford Ranger XLT. It's white, 5-speed. Bought a 5-speed truck, and I couldn't even drive it. It's terrible. Kelly taught me how to drive the truck I bought. And we had just moved to Bell. And I went to a mattress warehouse or somewhere in South Charleston and bought a mattress. And I'm like Pastor Frank, I didn't want to pay for delivery. I was going back in my truck and figure it out, right? And me and Donnie Maynard went down there and went in this little alleyway about as tight as this pulpit felt like. And we threw that mattress in the back and the box spring. And there was a truck coming at me, so it was one way. I don't know who was going the wrong way, but somebody was going the wrong way. And I remember backing up, and my white truck now had this big yellow mark down the side. And I get out of the truck, and I was like, oh, man. I had a big smile on my face. And I said, what are you smiling for? I said, man, it's a truck. It can be fixed. You see, when you have joy inside of you, that dent means nothing. Yeah, I was disappointed. Yeah, it got fixed, right? But joy, true joy, doesn't allow the circumstance around you to impact how you respond in everyday life. In everyday life. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. That's what Sam Storm said. It's the presence of God. Doesn't mean I'm not suffering. Doesn't mean I didn't run into a pole and put this yellow streak all the way down the side of it. It just means I've got God's presence in my life. It's a big deal. Having His presence in my life is kind of a big deal. While living here on this earth, Jesus encountered large crowds who were ready and willing to follow Him. They followed Him around. They listened to Him teach. They listened to Him speak. And they liked Him so much that when He said something tough, they wanted to throw Him off a cliff. The saying was too hard. And He was on the edge of the cliff when He said it. The Bible said He just slid through the crowd and walked away. That's the type of world we live in. One day they love us. 37 seconds later, they hate us. Right? Every day is perfect. 37 seconds later, it's total chaos. But joy doesn't say I'm not struggling. Joy says I've got God's presence in my life. In the middle of that struggle, in the middle of that chaos, I've got God. It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. There are a lot of people today who are more than willing to receive all the good things of Christ. Christ wants to offer them, but they don't want Him to take charge of every aspect of their lives. They don't want to take charge of their business ethics or their entertainments or the language they use when they're under pressure or the public image that they give to everyone else around them. They don't want Jesus to be in charge of where they live or who they date or who they marry or what kind of career they choose. Well, that's my job, God. I got this. That's mine. I get that choice, God. If you try to receive Christ without letting Him reign in your life, you'll miss out on that one thing, joy. Because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to do it on your own when you're not allowing Him to lead and guide you. You see indecisiveness and hypocrisy can actually zap joy out of your life. It can zap joy out of your life. I killed that word too. That was awesome. That's live on Facebook, folks. Just so. That's better than that one time I said, well, I'm going to say it what I said on Facebook. I'll be saying it twice. But that was funny, too. It'll zap the joy out of your life. When you're not allowing Him to rule and reign in your life, and again, He's not a mean dictator. He's a loving God. He's not a mean up there zapping you with lightning bolts like everybody thinks. I mean, some of you came to watch your kids this morning, and you thought, I ain't been in church for 20 years. I'm afraid the roof's going to cave in. This is a good roof. I promise you, it's okay. God doesn't operate like that. We serve a loving God. A loving God. He's not here to zap you or scare you or trick you. He loves you. He loves you. It's been said that joy is the byproduct of obedience. If you're obedient, you'll have joy. You'll have joy. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to Him, is what Dwight L. Moody said. Perpetual joy. It's constant. If you tell somebody you're perpetually this or perpetually that, that's a constant. And when you walk in obedience with God, you have a perpetual, constant joy in your life at all times. Regardless of what's going on around you, you have that joy. He comes to make His blessing flow, for as the curse is found, we sing in Joy to the World. Sin promises happiness, but sin delivers sorrow. Satan promised Adam and Eve knowledge and wealth and wisdom. And they found out he lied. Instead, he brought a horrible curse and unending regret. There's a great misconception about God and His desire for us to prosper and be in health and to be blessed. He wants to bless us. I'll be the first to tell you this morning. God wants to bless your life. He wants to. The problem does not lie with God. It lies with us. We're the problem. we're the problem. We mismanage. We make bad choices. We won't say no when we're supposed to say no. We give the wrong people, and we expect God to bless us. It doesn't work that way. He wants to make His blessings flow in our lives, but we must first do our part first. We've got to do our part first. For as the curse is found, sin is a worldwide problem. But we serve a worldwide God. We serve a worldwide God. For this news is for all people, not just the shepherds, for all people. This good news is for everyone, for everyone. For as the curse is found. I want to tell you this morning, there is no one on this planet that God cannot forgive. There's no one on this planet He can't forgive. If they will humble themselves before Him, He can forgive them. And last but not least, future joy. We've talked about the past joy, how we look to the birth of Christ. We talked about how we have this present joy now because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We now are in obedience with Him, and because we're living a life of obedience, we have perpetual joy now reigning in our lives. Future joy. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. We sing that in Joy to the World, don't we? John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 15, 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Joy comes because Jesus rules with the perfect balance of truth and grace. Perfect balance of truth and grace. In other words, His glory is shown not only in what He did, but in who He was. His life reflected truth and grace. He didn't just say it, He lived it. He lived it. His glory was not just because He was born of a virgin and wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He lived what He said He was. He lived that. He lived truth and grace. His very essence, He was full of grace and truth, and that is the glory of His character. We are to be the same as we talk about future joy. It's expectation. We look to the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ, when He's going to split the eastern skies and call back the church to be live eternally with Him. We're looking forward to that. But that's not the future joy I'm talking about. I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about this afternoon. I'm talking about 8 o'clock this evening. That's the future joy I'm talking about. And the way we perpetuate that joy to the next level, to the next hour, to the next minute, is we must be full of grace and truth as well. Because Jesus was. He was full of grace and truth as well. We have to balance that. If we are to have future joy, we must also live a perfect balance of truth and grace in our own lives so others may see Christ through us. Through us. You see, sometimes truth is not very gracious. Have you ever been told something and it hurt? Truth isn't always gracious, is it? When I hear someone say, and I hear this a lot, well, I just told him like it was. You ever heard somebody say that? I just told him like it was. I just gave him to him straight. Maybe they didn't need it straight. Maybe you could have taken a detour and got to straight. But maybe they didn't need a punch to the gut. I know they probably just offended someone by going heavy on truth and light on grace. I like this old saying, truth without love is dogmatism or no concern of others. Love without truth is sentimentally or too tender. But truth with love is true Christianity. It's true Christianity. True Christianity. Am I missing a page? Nope. Joy brings us. Jesus brings us joy because He is a perfect balance of truth and grace. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible tells us. We need to live in a way where truth and grace is evident in our lives every single day. It's okay to tell the truth. We also need to share some grace at the same time. Grace is never needed. How many grace? We always don't like to give grace, do we? But man, when we need grace, when I need grace, man, I'm really glad somebody's giving me some grace. When I need the grace, man, I'm so glad no one's. There is that perfect balance. There is that perfect balance. And that's where true joy comes from. If we want to change the world around us, they need to see truth and grace in our lives as well. Happiness is untested delight. Joy is tested. That's what Jack Hiles said about joy. Happiness is untested. But man, when you got joy inside, it's been tested. And people can see this joy that I have in my life. Why? Because I'm full of truth and I'm full of grace. Just as Jesus was. I heard a story not too long ago. I was reading, and it's a perfect example of truth and grace. There was this family, and they were putting out their nativity scene for the Christmas holidays. And they had Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and the stars. It was this beautiful nativity scene. But their little four-year-old son, Rex, wanted to bring his Tyrannosaurus, the big blow-up Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, like a 10-footer. He didn't understand why his Tyrannosaurus Rex couldn't be in the nativity scene. And he got very upset because he couldn't have this 10-foot dinosaur with baby Jesus. Right? And his dad tried to explain to him, but son, dinosaurs lived long before Jesus did, and they weren't around. Some just destroyed by it. It just crushed him. So his dad, when the people drove by their house now at that time, saw this nativity scene with a 10-foot dinosaur behind it. He mixed a little bit of truth and a little bit of grace. He mixed a little bit of truth and a little bit of grace. And if we want to change the world around us, we need to have a little bit of truth and a little bit of grace in the way we live our lives on a daily basis. And then we'll impact the world around us. That's where the future joy is. We've looked to the past to see this joy. We're in the moment, and we're being obedient to Jesus. We're allowing him to lead us and guide us and direct our lives. And in the future, if we want to impact people, want this joy to continue, we have to have this balance of truth and grace in our lives. In a world that is struggling to put itself first, there's a relationship that can take away that struggle this morning. By putting Jesus first, the struggle ends. For he is first in our lives. At Christmas, heaven interrupted earth in the form of a baby. Our hope, our peace, our joy showed up that night. It changed the world forever. As I begin to close, I was thinking about the monologues we've had. They've been phenomenal. If you haven't seen them all, I think they're recorded on Facebook. But the phenomenal monologues. And as I think about the Christmas story, everyone responded in some way or fashion, didn't they? Shepherds responded. Wise men responded. It took them 2 years, but they responded. Right? Had a long way to go. Mary responded. Joseph responded. The innkeeper, Kevin, responded by giving Jesus a place because Paula said so. As we learned last week. That was a really good line. You either give that boy a place to sleep, or you're going to have to find a place to sleep. Even Herod responded, didn't he? There was a response to this birth of the Savior, this birth of this Messiah, our hope, our peace, our joy, our love. We all must respond too. We all have to respond to this story. It demands a response. Demands it. You can't hear this story. You can't fathom this miraculous moment in time and not respond in some way, shape, or form. It demands a response. So I ask you this morning, how will you respond to this birth of our Savior? How will you respond as he calls you and draws you to this place called joy? It is a place. I believe that joy is a place you can get to. Why? Because you're obedient to him. How do you respond to that message? How do you respond? How many of you have been to DMV? Everybody raising their hand right now. You walk in, they give you that number. B203. That's terrible. When you look up and you're on B250 or 25, you know what I mean? There's no zeros. It's just 25. And you're B203. But see, the problem you have is you got to get your license renewed. Now they have that automatic kiosk thing, but a lot of people are afraid to stick their stuff inside that big box and afraid it won't spit something back out. So most of us go down and we get a number. And I sit and I wait and I wait and I wait. What's so amazing about that is the same is true about Christ. I can't get Scott Poor's driver's license for him. I can't go down there and say, hey, Scott's busy working. Here's his check, and here's his ID, and here's his 1,400 proofs of identification to prove who he is. But I'm not Scott. I'm just here to help Scott. Sorry, Scott has to do this on his own. Only Scott can take the ticket and be B203. The same is true of Christ. As much as we dread going to the DMV, we're the only ones that can go renew our license. We're the only ones that can go and represent ourselves. Well, guess what? This Christmas story requires our representation. You are the only one that can make that choice. You're the only one that gets to respond. Maybe your old house is saved. Maybe your mom plays the piano. Maybe your dad sings all the good songs. But guess what? That doesn't save you, because you are required to respond. So I ask this question. How will you respond to this Christmas message? Simple. Star, angels, shepherds, Mary, Joseph, wise men, baby, manger. Simple story that changed the world forever. Everyone will bow their heads and close their eyes. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for bringing joy into our world, in a world that's so desperately seeking something to fill the void in their lives. You brought hope, you bring peace, and you bring joy. So, Father, speak to our hearts. Let us respond to this message. Let us respond to Christmas. In Jesus' name. Everybody keep their heads bowed and eyes closed real quick.